D.C. on Friday, December 14th, to submit official bids to host the Nations Cup. Our Voice of America football fans will remember the 2019 tournament will be the first Nations Cup to expand from 16 to 24 teams, and it's scheduled to be held from June 15th to July 13th. Morocco, South Africa, and Congo Brazzaville have been reported as possible replacement hosts, but there have been no official declarations. Meanwhile, the draw for the 2019 Women's World Cup football tournament was held over the weekend in France. Like the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations, the Women's World Cup will feature 24 teams. They were placed into six groups of four each during the draw. Group A has host France, Norway, South Korea, and Nigeria. Group B has Germany, Spain, China, and South Africa. Group C features Australia, Brazil, Italy, and Jamaica. The teams in Group D are England, Japan, Scotland, and Argentina. Group E has Canada, the Netherlands, New Zealand, and Cameroon. And finally, Group F, which has the defending champion United States, Sweden, Thailand, and Chile. The Super Falcons of Nigeria successfully defended their African women's title on December 1st in Accra, Ghana, where they beat South Africa 4-3 on penalty kicks. For reaction to Nigeria's Women's World Cup group, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a sports editor at the news agency of Nigeria, Emmanuel Akara.
Well, the way it is, there is no way you can hide when you qualify for a competition of such magnitude. You are definitely going to pit your wits against the best. And fortunately and unfortunately, we find ourselves in a group that can be likened to a group of death. But nevertheless, we have to go, we have to play against these teams. We will not say because we are in a group of death, we will not now attend the tournament. We have to, good or bad, we must be there to register our presence. And when we get to that bridge, definitely, we will cross it. But I know France, Norway, South Korea, they have very rich pedigree in the competition. They have their strengths and their weaknesses. And definitely, with the caliber of coach we have and the person of Thomas Dennerby, he will definitely bring his years of experience, his wealth of experience to bear, especially against a side like Norway.
In his report to the Nigeria Football Federation after the African Women's Tournament held in Ghana, the head coach of the Nigerian female national team, Thomas Dennerby, recommended that he should be allowed to start camping for the World Cup in January next year. What's your reaction to this?
It's a good plan. Everything now depends on the NFF to make sure they provide the necessary logistics, because such programs is logistics based. The logistics must be provided and the players invited on time, those that are going to be available. Because mind you, some players are playing professionally. It's not everybody that will be in camp initially, but starting a camp in January is the right thing to do. It will give the team time to prepare, give the coach time to infuse his philosophy, his team tactics and their strategy on the players. Hopefully, it will put us in good stead for the competition.
South Africa and Cameroon are Africa's other representatives in the FIFA Women's World Cup. How will you look at their groups, the places they find themselves?
The way it is, like I said, the tournament is for the very best in the world. And they, I think South Africa, I can't remember precisely the composition of their groups, but I know they are with equally illustrious teams. South Africa, they are not as illustrious as Super Falcons, but one way or the other, they will do their best. And Cameroon, well, they too, they show promises on the continent, but the real stage is the global stage. I hope they will do their best too. I wish them to do so. But most importantly, my money is on the Super Falcons. I hope they will go beyond the levels they've gotten to in previous times.
That's Emmanuel Akara, a sports editor at the News Agency of Nigeria. And Emmanuel spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Emmanuel Okoro says he hopes the Super Falcons of Nigeria go beyond the levels they've gotten to in previous Women's World Cups. While the Nigerian women have dominated Africa over the years, their success has not carried over to the world stage. The Super Falcons have been to every Women's World Cup since 1991, but managed only once to get out of the group stage. That was at the 1999 Women's World Cup here in the United States, where Nigeria lost to Brazil 4-3 in extra time in the quarterfinals and finished 7th overall. The 2019 Women's World Cup is scheduled from June 7th to July 7th. France will host South Korea in the opening match in Paris, and the final will be played in Lyon.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Throughout 2018, South Africa has been celebrating the centennial of the birth of Nelson Mandela, the country's late president and human rights icon. Mandela was a big sports fan, and over the weekend, he was remembered with a special athletic event in South Africa's political capital, Pretoria. Samson Omale reports.
The Mandela Remembrance Walk and Run, an annual event to commemorate the legacy of South Africa's former president Nelson Mandela, attracted several thousands of participants on Sunday. Hosted by the Nelson Mandela Foundation, together with the Gauteng province, the Mandela Remembrance Walk and Run 2018 also honored political activists and stalwarts Albertina Sisulu and Margaret Gasso. Tokyo Sakwale speaks on the importance of the Mandela Remembrance Walk and Run.
This is a remembrance walk as well as a run for Nelson Mandela. He has written a book, The Long Walk to Freedom, because he walked that walk. It's our time right now not just to walk that walk, but to begin to run that walk. We are left behind as South Africans in so many things, in housing, education, jobs, all those things. So this is a significant symbolic action that South Africans are taking on his behalf to show that we still believe in solidarity.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I traveled to South Africa in early August to cover Basketball Without Borders Africa and the NBA Africa Game 2018. One of the special guests in South Africa was basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer. Kareem told me he made his first visit to South Africa 47 years ago.
Been a couple of times. First time was 1971. I did a State Department tour, and I've come back once or twice since then.
In the opening remarks, they referred to Nelson Mandela several times. What are your feelings about Mr. Mandela?
Well, I thought Mr. Mandela was an incredibly charismatic figure, especially for Black Americans who, you know, were observing the struggle here in South Africa. I mean, he really set an incredible example of courage and perseverance. And, you know, in that sense, he was really a giant. And, you know, he used to box. The fact that he gave up his favorite sport to become a lawyer so he could fight apartheid, I think, really explains his stature here in South Africa. He devoted his whole life to freeing this nation from a very oppressive regime.
I remember in the 60s, you were very active in the civil rights movement in the United States, Martin Luther King Jr. Can you compare their legacies of service, Mr. Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr.?
Well, I think, you know, when you talk about examples of people devoting their lives to their communities, Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela, you know, they just jump right out at you. They could have had other lives, but they sacrificed for their people and for the cause of freedom, justice, and equality. And I think, you can't say enough about them.
That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And that interview with Kareem originally aired on The Voice of America in August in Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In NBA action Monday night, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid helped lead the Philadelphia 76ers to their 19th win of the season. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The 76ers used a quick start and a strong finish in taking a 116-102 win over the Pistons. Philadelphia used a 15-2 first quarter run, taking a 9-point lead, up by just 5 in the fourth quarter. The Sixers closed out the contest with a 15-7 run. Joel Embiid led the way, scoring 14 of his team-high 24 points in the second half.
Everybody did what they had to do, and it started on the defensive end. We had stretches where we were really good defensively, but like we always say, it starts on the defensive end, and I thought we did pretty good job on that end, and that's how we got the win.
Ben Simmons added 18.
I think we stuck together as a team. We ran through our offense and defensively stuck with our strength. This is Batman. We call it Batman Joel, protecting the rim and guys really feeding off everybody's energy, which really kept us in the game.
Luke Kennard had a game-high 28 for the Pistons. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. From Philadelphia, let's go west to Oakland, California, where the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors also posted their 19th victory of the season Monday night. And the Warriors also had one of their key players back in the lineup. The AP's Adam Kadora reports from Oakland.
Draymond Green made his return from injury as Golden State topped Minnesota 116-108. Green had 10 rebounds, 7 points, and 7 assists, one of which being a highlight reel to end the first half. Stephen Curry scored 14 of his game-high 38 points in the third quarter.
I was excited to see Draymond assert himself early. Obviously on the defensive end, which is what he's capable of doing every night, but pushing in transition for us off of misses just puts another type of pressure on the defense. When you can space around him, he can make plays in the middle of the floor.
Klay Thompson added 26 points and Kevin Durant with 22. Karl Anthony Towns had a team-high 31 points, while Derrick Rose had 21 off the bench. Since the Jimmy Butler trade, the Timberwolves are 9-5. Adam Kadura, Oakland.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Southern California, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers beat the visiting Miami Heat 108-105. LeBron tallied 28 points, 12 assists, and 9 rebounds to lead the Lakers to their 17th win of the season against 10 losses. The Heat now has 11 victories and 15 defeats. It was a busy night in the NBA with 11 games on the schedule, highlighting one other contest. The Boston Celtics beat the visiting New Orleans Pelicans 113-100. Marcus Morris, whose twin brother Markieff plays here in Washington for the Washington Wizards, had a season-high 31 points for the Celtics. Boston played without injured regulars Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, who cheered on their teammates from the bench. And the Celtics overcame a big game from New Orleans star Anthony Davis, who had a game-high 41 points.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bamboozip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In Olympic news, the IOC recently announced plans to form a committee to protect future Olympians. Joining us with details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Earlier this month, the IOC announced it will form an advisory committee to address human rights issues in sport. IOC President Thomas Bach spoke at a news conference in Tokyo, where he stressed that putting sport at the service of humanity goes hand in hand with human rights.
This commitment and this committee, of course, will concentrate on the spheres of work of the IOC. That means, in particular, the organization of the Olympic Games and the Youth Olympic Games. We will not pretend that the IOC or the Olympic Games can solve human rights issues beyond our spheres of work. There is enough to do within our spheres of work.
The new advisory committee will consist of 6 to 9 members and will be chaired by former United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Prince Zayed Raad Al Hussein of Jordan. The announcement comes in the wake of an IOC investigation into the financial and governing practices of the International Boxing Association, or AIBA. All planning for the boxing tournament at Tokyo 2020 has been frozen. And while the IOC has stated it will make every effort to ensure boxing will be included at the Games, the governing body has warned AIBA could lose its status as amateur boxing's governing body. Thomas Bach relates that investigation with issues of human rights and the protection of athletes.
We want to have one, and this is why we will work hard there for the athletes, because here again, it's always the same. We do not want athletes to suffer from misbehavior of officials or people to which they are not related, and with the misbehavior of whom they have nothing to do.
The Advisory Committee on Human Rights is a direct result of the IOC's Olympic Agenda 2020, a roadmap for the future of the Olympic movement. Also featured in the agenda is the New Norm Program to ensure the games are affordable and sustainable. Last month, two candidate cities, Stockholm in Sweden and Milan Cortina in Italy, presented their bids to host the 2026 Winter Olympics and their commitment to sustainability. Thomas Bach said he welcomed the approach from both candidates.
And with regard to the venues and reduce the investments for venues and, on the other hand, increase the sustainability there,
you can again see both candidates, Stockholm and Milan Cortina. They plan to use 80% of existing or temporary facilities, which again is an increase of 33% compared to the projects 2018 and 2022.
The IOC will announce the winning bid for the 2026 Winter Olympics in June of next year, and the composition of the full Human Rights Committee will be announced in March of 2019. And that's all from me. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more Olympic news, two-time Olympic Taekwondo champion Stephen Lopez of the United States won arbitration in a sexual misconduct case and had his name removed from the U.S. Center for Safe Sports ban list. The 40-year-old Lopez was permanently banned in September for sexual misconduct involving a minor. He has denied the allegations. In African boxing, Ghana's Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe suffered his first professional loss over the weekend in New York City, where he relinquished his WBO super bantamweight title to mandatory challenger Emmanuel Vaquero Navarrete of Mexico. Yes, you might say the Mexican Vaquero vanquished Dogbe, who was hoping to cap 2018 with his fourth victory of the year. Navarrete scored a 12-round unanimous decision. The scores from ringside: 115-113, 116-112, and 116-112, all in favor of the Mexican Navarrete. Now, both fighters showed respect after their battle. Dogbe said, and I quote, "It was a great fight, and Emmanuel Navarrete fought like a true Mexican warrior. Champions are supposed to keep going under any circumstance, but I just couldn't get the victory. The best man won tonight." For his part, Navarrete said, and I quote, "I thank Dogbe for this fight. I injured my right hand early in the bout, but I had a desire to be a champion, and I did everything necessary to get the title. And I am very happy and proud to achieve this goal of being the world champion." Navarrete now has a record of 25 wins and one loss with 22 knockouts. Dogbe has 20 victories and one defeat with 14 knockouts. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, has doubts there will be a rematch between Dogbe and Navarrete in 2019. Namdi says the Royal Storm Dogbe will need to regroup and perhaps move up to the featherweight class next year. In the main event in New York City, Ukrainian prize fighter Vasyl Lomachenko showed why some call him the best pound-for-pound boxer in the world. Lomachenko won a lopsided 12-round decision against Puerto Rico's Jose Pedraza in a world lightweight title unification bout. Finally, in tennis, the Women's Tennis Association has handed out its annual honors. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Czech player Petra Kvitová. Petra won her sixth consecutive sportsmanship award and seventh overall. She's quoted as saying, "It's a great honor to receive this award for a seventh time. This award means so much to me, especially as it's voted upon by my colleagues." Petra Kvitová showing sportsmanship throughout 2018. And that wraps up the December 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Daniel Downtown Brown. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
41 years ago, NASA launched its ambitious Voyager mission that sent two spacecraft into deep space. The original mission goal for Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 was to explore our solar system's great outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. But once their original mission ended, the two spacecraft continued traveling toward the edge of the solar system, albeit in two separate directions. In August 2012, Voyager 1 became the first human-made vehicle to exit our solar system and enter interstellar space. Now, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory is reporting that Voyager 2 has joined its twin spacecraft in the space between the stars. While Voyager 1 still does communicate with Earth, Voyager 2 also has a working instrument that the space agency says will provide the first observations of entering interstellar space. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The 2019 Voice of America calendars are in. This year's calendar features a variety of scenic photos that capture the beautiful byways of the United States, including magnificent photos of California's Big Sur Coast Highway, West Virginia's Highland Scenic Highway, and even the Cato All-American Road in Maine. Tune into Border Crossings and call to request a free calendar.